And now, Lifestyles Unlimited presents the Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Over the next hour, we unfold your map to financial freedom. You'll learn how to retire through investing in single-family and multifamily real estate. You'll learn how to create cash flow and build wealth so you can have the time and money to live the lifestyle you want.
Welcome to the show. My name is Al Gordon, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. And we're going to do so today by talking about something that I think the majority of you listening to my voice struggle with. Now, if you just happen to be a member of Lifestyles Unlimited, which is a real estate investing, education, and mentoring company, if you're a member of that organization, maybe what I'm about to say doesn't apply to you now, but I think what I'm about to say to you may have applied in the past. So I think those of you that are Lifestyles Unlimited members, you may be able to reflect and understand that what I'm about ready to share with the audience is something that you yourself struggled with at one time, and the majority of the audience is struggling with now. What am I talking about? I'm talking about the ability to understand the power of passive income that is generated by real estate assets due to a combination of, well, I think you struggle because you have financial education gaps, you have cultural mindsets that you've adopted, and I think there are some practical barriers as well as some other things that are impacting you. So why don't we do this? Why don't we pretend that I'm some psychological guy? I'm not. I'm not even going to be able to play one on the radio because I can't even get the term right, right? What I should have said was psychologist, or you know what I'm talking about. So the point is, what I want to share with you are some things that I think you're struggling with that are common amongst Americans. And I think most Americans struggle with these concepts because at an early age, we're taught to do certain things. We're taught by people that we love, that we admire, that we respect, and they teach us certain concepts about how to get ahead in life. You've been advised by parents, aunts, uncles, older people that are impactful in your life, that the way to get ahead is to go to school. It's all about going to school and getting an education, right? So what do? Some of you started in preschool. Some of you started in kindergarten. Everybody eventually got to the first grade. Then you went through what? The sixth grade or the eighth grade, depending on where you went to school. You either went first grade through eighth grade and then you went into high school, right? Or like me, I went first grade through fifth grade. Then I went to something called a sixth grade center, which I won't even talk about what that was, but it was force busing. That's all it was. And then I went to a junior high, which covered 7 through 9. And then while I was in high school doing 10 through 12, they changed the rules and they said junior high would only be 7 through 8 and high school would pick up the ninth graders. So when I was a senior, we had ninth graders that were a part of our school, something that we had never had until I became a senior. So what do? After high school, right? Well, hopefully you graduate. Some of you got a GED. I understand the reasons why, but the majority of you probably graduated from high school because you were taught that in order to be successful in life, no matter what you want to do, you have to go to high school. You have to get that diploma, right? Because employers are going to ask you, did you graduate from high school? And you want to have the piece of paper that proves, yes, I did, so that you can be considered for the job, right? Now, some of you heard additional information. I'm one of those people. I'm thinking the majority of you are those people. Some of you are not these people, but here's what I'm describing. You've got to go to college. You've got to get good grades. You have to graduate from college so that you could be competitive for the better jobs that are out there, right? You heard it. I heard it. that if you only went to high school and graduated, you would only be able to get a job that earned you a certain amount of income per year. But if you endured 4 years of college, you would qualify for better paying positions because you would be more educated. You'd be more in tune with what these companies are looking for. Now, some of you didn't stop there. Some of you went on to get an advanced degree beyond the baccalaureate level. You were told, once you get your bachelor's degree, stay in school, get your master's degree. And for you engineers out there, here's the advice I know all of you got. Get your engineering degree. Spend 4 to 5 years focused on your engineering degree. Do everything in your power to achieve that degree. And here's a guy that didn't study engineering that realizes the painful burden of being an engineer in college, because I had friends that were engineers and they didn't have any personal time. They really didn't. So they got that engineering degree, and you know what they did? They went right back to school and got an MBA, because they were taught that if they were going to go into some type of engineering practice in some corporate America institution, or maybe in a government institution, that unless you had a knowledge of how business works, that engineering degree, even though it gets you in the door, doesn't get you to where you want to go in the organization, which is up the ladder, right? So we're all taught to get as high up that ladder as possible. And then once we get that job, what do? We start working on getting up that ladder. And it consumes us. It consumes us for many, many years. So here's the question I have for you. Do you have, or do you suffer from, limited financial education? Good. Think that through for a minute. What does that mean, right? Limited financial education. Well, let's put it into perspective. The majority of you listening to my voice are high school graduates. Some of you that are high school graduates have college degrees. Some of you that have college degrees have advanced degrees beyond the bachelor level. So let's think this through. How many classes did you take as a part of your curriculum that focused on your personal finances, investing, and concepts like passive income? I'm hearing crickets out there. I see one hand way over there in the corner. Yeah. It's rarely taught in schools. Rarely. Why? Well, number one, in high school, what are they trying to do? They're trying to teach you subjects that would allow you to go to college, right? And even if you're at a state-operated school, in other words, public education, the curriculum is designed, in many cases, to give you an opportunity to compete, to go to college, so that you can spend money on a college education. Number one, college is big business. It is very big business. And what colleges focus on are creating a labor pool that they can send out to America. That's how they make their money. They make a lot of money doing it. Now, what do you think the curriculum is focused on? I believe the curriculum is focused on subjects designed to make you an excellent employee. Not an excellent you, but an excellent employee. In other words, they're teaching you skill sets that your future bosses will expect you to have when you come into the workplace. Because once you get to the workplace, they're going to retrain you anyhow. Because all that stuff you learned in college, mostly theory, mostly impractical, some of it was practical, Some of you went to colleges where they actually brought in people from industry or people from government or people from the different sectors that they're trying to provide employees to that would teach you maybe some current information about what their organization does. So you actually get some real world knowledge. But here's what I know. For every one of my friends, now I graduated from college. I've got an advanced degree. But when I graduated from college, it was the year 1986. Yeah, it was a couple days ago. And the majority of my friends in college were not going to the military. I was the only one. Everybody else was going into either corporate America, a couple of them were going into government services, but the majority of my friends were going into corporate America. You know what I know about each of those ones that went into a different line of work than mine? They all went through a very specific educational program as part of the new hiring process in order to teach them how to be an excellent employee within that business model. Now, I went into the military, right? Yeah, do you think they just accepted the fact that I went to college and I've got a degree? Nope. I was concurrently, while I was getting my degree, going through something called Reserve Officer Training Corps. In other words, ROTC. And it was endorsed by the Army. So I was going to be an Army officer. And concurrent with my institutional educational experience at the University of Southern California, I also went through military training on the weekends as a part of my curriculum. I actually had to take an educational class. It was 2 credit hours that also had a leadership lab assigned to it. And then we would have weekend training events like a field training exercise, or we'd go on a historical visit. And it was designed to start training me to become an Army officer. So when I became an Army officer, you know what the first thing the Army did? Well, they assigned me to a unit. They did. Assigned me to a unit, said go there. So what did I do? I went to the unit. I reported into my commanding officer, stood at the position of attention, snapped out an outstanding salute, said, "Sir, Lieutenant Gordon reporting for duty." He saluted me back. I dropped my salute. And the first question out of his mouth, "Have you been to OBC?" Now, some of you think I just cursed at you by saying OBC. You think it's a bad term. Some of you are like, "I don't even know what that means, dude. What is it, OBC thing?" OBC is Officer Basic Course. In other words, the United States Army, for every newly commissioned second lieutenant, sends that second lieutenant to a branch-specific course. In other words, the Army is broken down into sub-branches. You got the infantry guys. You got the armor guys. You got the air defense artillery guys. You got the field artillery guys. You got the aviation guys. You got the military police. You got the transportation guys. You got the logistics guys. You got the quartermasters. You got all this stuff, all these elements within the United States Army that are very specific with regards to the type of job that you're going to do. So in that basic officer course, you get exposed to two things: operational and tactical education, specific to the branch that you're assigned to. So if you're going to be an infantry guy, guess what you're going to learn about? How to do infantry tactics. And the Army's going to teach you from the very beginning step. And here's why they do it. They're not convinced that the education you got from college is enough to absolutely condition you to be an officer in the United States Army. As a matter of fact, the United States Army goes on and has professional education built into it, not only for the officer corps, but for the non-commissioned officer corps. There are certain educational gates that you must achieve in order to promote. Because the Army expects you to get better as you upgrade your rank. We come back from the break, more on your issues. Stick around.
Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show returns in a moment. Got questions? Go to lifestylesunlimited.com.
Learn to retire in 5 years or less through real estate investing. Learn how, learn now. Let Lifestyles Unlimited show you how. Get educated now. Text the word radio to 88007. That's radio to 88007. Join for just $297. Lifestyles Unlimited.
Creating the lifestyle you've always wanted. You're hearing Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
Welcome back to the second half of the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. My name is Al Gordon, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. And we're doing so today by kind of addressing your past, my past, our past, and what the education system failed to do for us, because the education system was really trying to create employees for corporate America, government services, nonprofits, whoever needed the labor. Right? You know what I'm talking about. And for those of you that didn't go to college, that went into the trades, what do trade schools do? They give you basic information on how to conduct the trade itself. And then you go to work for somebody, and that somebody, if they're competent, teaches you how to operate within the business, right? Now, I realize not all trade guys get that. Some trade guys are just like, yeah, you just know how to turn wrenches, and that's all we're going to teach you. Okay, if that's all you're getting, well, that's all you're getting. But keep in mind, there's more to the business than just turning wrenches. You may want to start focusing on potentially becoming an owner of the business, because really, at the end of the day, that's where the money's at. So this gets me to my point of the fact that the majority of us in America, not everybody, but the majority of us in America received limited financial education. Courses on personal finance and investing, especially concepts like passive income, are rarely, if ever, taught in schools. Most Americans grow up with a focus on earned income. What does that mean, earned income? That means you get a job and they pay you wages based on the job that you do. You're, in essence, trading time, your valuable time, for a paycheck. Most of us grow up with that focus. Our parents, the majority of our parents, had that focus, and they taught it to us. And they weren't being mean. They weren't being dishonest. They just didn't know. They didn't know anything about investment income. And the majority of you out there listening to me, not you Lifestyles Unlimited members, everybody else in the audience, you didn't receive an education on investment income. Now, most of you that have some kind of investment income education, it's probably self-taught, right? Probably got a book on stock trading, or maybe you bought somebody's course on stock trading. Or you went and sat down with a financial planner, and that financial planner said, well, we're going to get you all taken care of. And you thought, dodge that bullet. But if you actually look at the rate of returns you're getting in your stock portfolio, they're inferior to what you could be doing in real estate. I know this to be true. I've done both. And I'm not in stock trading anymore. I'm in real estate, because real estate, wow, it's more effective. It's truly more effective. And real estate specific knowledge, such as leveraging rental properties, understanding cash flow, navigating tax benefits like depreciation, can be complex. And it's not widely accessible without you turning to self-directed learning or finding a mentor that can help you out. There's another problem going on in America that you probably experienced. I know I experienced it. And it's the whole cultural emphasis on active income. The United States work culture glorifies the hustle. Go out there and hustle for it. and traditional employment. Everything you're taught in school is all about getting a job, right? It's not about retiring yourself in 5 years. It's about going and getting a job, working through the hustle, working through the grind, continuing to work for somebody else for 30, 40, 50 or more years, hopefully building up a bag of money that you can retire on. It is a methodology for failure, but it's part of our culture. It's what we've been designed to do because we've been taught to do exactly that. The idea of earning money passively without actually doing anything for it feels foreign, suspicious, maybe even a little dirty, right? I mean, that's what you're thinking, right? Yeah, I don't know about that. That doesn't sound right. It doesn't sound like it's real. It's real. Real estate investing is often perceived as something reserved for the wealthy. It's not for common people like you and me. Well, that's a bad attitude. It's what I like to call stinking thinking. Because real estate is for people like you and me. Now, some of you think, well, you know, that real estate thing, that requires a significant upfront effort. Does it? Or is that only your perception based on things you've heard from other people? You know, real estate is often seen as risky, even volatile, especially after events like the 2008 financial crisis. Now, many of you associate it with flipping. You think real estate investing is flipping, but let me clear that up for you. Flipping is more of a speculative investment decision than a well thought through and stable cash flowing investment like rental properties. And there are misconceptions about high entry costs, maintenance hassles, bad residents that deter people from exploring how properties can generate consistent monthly or quarterly income. Now, some of you think real estate often requires significant upfront capital, which many of you don't have readily available. I mean, the stats that I looked at said the median savings for the U.S. household right now is very low. It's around $5,300 based on recent Federal Reserve data, which is making it hard for you to imagine purchasing income-generating properties, especially when you listen to this radio show and I go, hey, for only $20,000 down, you could buy a property that can generate an additional $50,000 worth of equity, thereby giving you a total of $70,000 of equity going into the deal. And you're like, well, I got $5,300. I can't buy that. Well, that's stinking thinking because you haven't sat down to figure out where all your money's at. Yeah, that's something you got to do. You got to figure out where all your money's at. You'd be surprised where you have money stuffed in your household. You have cars that you don't drive, sell them, generate cash. You have things in your house that you don't use or need anymore, sell them, generate cash. I have a very dear friend who's a Lifestyles Unlimited member. And what she did when she realized that she didn't have a lot in savings, she did just that. As a matter of fact, she sold her husband's truck and trailer. Now, he's a cowboy. That's like fighting words. You sell my truck and my trailer, them's fighting words. You know what he had to drive? A CAR. He drove a CAR for a while. You know what he did? He put his pride in his back pocket, listened to the wisdom of his wife. She got all this money. She went out and bought real estate with it, wound up changing the financial situation in their household, allowed her to stop working. Now, he's still working. The only reason he's still working, not because he has to, but because he's working on a pension that gives him some benefits, and he's so close to that, it'd be dumb to walk away from it. So he still works. And you know what he drives now? A better truck than he had before because of what his wife did. Made him get rid of something that wasn't benefiting the household, benefiting his ego, but not benefiting the household. Turned that money into tangible investments that provided enough passive income that he can go out and get himself another truck and a better one. Many Americans prioritize immediate financial needs. You do. You live in the here and now, and a lot of you have more month at the end of your money. And those of you that don't understand that statement, that concept, probably don't deal with it. But those of you that understood it, you know exactly what I'm talking about. When it comes to paying bills, managing debt, saving for short-term goals, that's what you do. And you don't focus on long-term wealth-building strategies because you're living paycheck to paycheck. Passive income that comes from real estate does require a little bit of patience to get it going. But the benefits are real. There's a thing called compounding cash flow. There's appreciation. These things accrue over a couple of years, or depending on how long you hold the asset, for maybe a decade, which clashes with the culture of instant gratification. You need to step away from instant gratification. It is not helping you. Now, some of you think that managing real estate, even passively, involves understanding markets. It does. Financing, it does. Taxes, it does. And property management, it does. For those of you that are unfamiliar with these concepts, this complexity feels overwhelming compared to simpler investments like stocks and mutual fund that you have on cruise control. You don't even know what you're invested in. Unlike stock market investing, which is heavily discussed in the media, I can turn on the news every morning and I can see what the Dow Jones is doing. I can see what the NASDAQ is doing. They tell me what stocks are up. They tell me what stocks are down. When I turn to the financial channels, the ones that are focused on business and finances, are they focused on real estate? No. Occasionally, you'll get a real estate presentation, but it isn't the information you need to hear. So without relatable examples of how rental properties or syndications generate steady cash flow, the concept still remains abstract to you. So here's the bottom line. All of this is not your fault. None of this is your fault. You've been conditioned by people that felt they had your best interests at heart. And I don't disagree with that. I think they did. But they were also limited on their knowledge about how to do real estate investing. Because people that are older than us, some of them may have lived through the Great Depression. And some of them may have been wiped out. Now, my family was not wiped out during the Great Depression. And part of that was because they didn't own stocks. But they were still impacted by the Great Depression. Because even though my grandfather was in business for himself, his practice, his tax attorney practice, was impacted because his clients were impacted. So in my family, we were taught to save. We weren't even taught to do the stock market thing because that was really evil. It was all about saving money. And I'm here to tell you, maybe you can save your way to success, and maybe you can't. And the worst time to figure that out is when you're in your 50s, 60s, 70s, maybe your 80s, that all the savings that you did throughout the years after it was impacted by inflation wasn't enough money to keep you in the lifestyle you hope to have in your later years. But with passive income, that's generated monthly or quarterly, depending on the investment decision you make. That money comes in. That money pays your expenses of living. That money provides for your lifestyle, and there's no limitation on the amount you can go out and get. You can start with getting some, and then transition to getting more, and then transition to getting even more. And the next thing you know, after 5 years of doing this, you can look back and say, I've got more money coming in passively than I do coming from my job. Why am I doing this job anymore? So many Lifestyles Unlimited members, they do one of three things at that point. They either quit the job because they hate it and they just don't want to work anymore, which is totally allowable, or they retain the job because they actually like what they're doing. And they find that when they go back to work at that job, they have this sense of control because no longer are they worried about being laid off or fired, because if that happens, it doesn't matter. They've got passive income covering their household expenses. The money they get from the job is just cherry on the cake. It really just becomes money that you use to buy more investment assets with. And the third thing that they do, if they don't do those other two things, they leave their job and they either find another job that they enjoy doing, or they just kind of migrate into nonprofit stuff and they volunteer their time because they really want to help people out. Folks, that's called control. And that's what passive income provides to you. And if you're worried about whether or not your job is going to end on Friday, or if you're worried about corporate layoffs coming down the pipe because they're already talking about them at the water cooler, and you've already seen some of your people walked out of the building with their box of stuff, you might be a little nervous. And your only solution is to go get another job. Well, I'm here to tell you there's a different solution. It's called real estate. It's called doing what we do at Lifestyles Unlimited. We are designed to educate you and provide mentorship to assist you with getting going. And if you want to do what I'm doing, you want to do what the 50,000 members of Lifestyles Unlimited are doing, go to lifestylesunlimited.com, sign up for that free workshop, and let's get you going.
Thank you for listening to Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Ready for more of the map? Visit lifestylesunlimited.com. Explore our videos and articles. Click on the radio tab to access past show podcasts. View the radio show schedule and listen to our best of radio shows unlimited on Facebook today. We want to meet you as well. Sign up for a free workshop at lifestylesunlimited.com. Until next time, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
The information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the hosts, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.